This is Free Talk Live, and we're kicking off hour number two of the Thursday edition. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Toll-free number 1-800-259-9231. That's the number you need to bring up whatever's on your mind. Again, that's 800-259-9231. You can also join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site, totally free. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. We return to the phones and to the fun. Paul in Maryland, been waiting patiently. You're back on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, guys.
Hey there.
Let me list the seven things that appear to be, but I don't believe that they are.
Very good. Is this your list, Paul? Did you come up with this on your own?
Yeah, I actually was working on it late last night, and I wanted to bring it up today in today's show.
Cool. Original content. All right, go for it.
One, a man's home is his castle. Two, marriage is sacred. Three, inflation. Four.
All right, whoa, let's slow down. Let's go through these a little bit and talk about them. Because
okay.
A man's home is a castle. Obviously, is the way it should be. It was the way the country was originally set up, where we were all sovereigns, because we wanted to get away from the one sovereign, the king, essentially. We wanted to get away from that idea and make it so that anybody who owned property was sovereign over that property. And that's where the concept came from, that a man's home is his castle, and you could do whatever it took to defend that home. One example of how it's obviously not your castle anymore might be the fact that the cops can just kick in the door any old time they want to and raid your house on whatever sort of silly excuse, like, say, they think that you're a drug dealer or they've got an anonymous tip. How about the zoning board, which can decide whether or not you can put something on your property or take something off your property and makes all sorts of decisions in regards to your home. So there's number one. What was number two?
Number two is marriage is sacred. And the reason why I bring this up is because, you know, I'm not saying I believe in God and I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying that I see that the government is encouraging divorces with higher taxes, having two families to work and so forth. So marriage to me is not really sacred when you have a third party involved in the marriage, meaning the state government or whatever.
Good point. I think, Mark is the married man here.
What makes the government holy? I mean, their involvement, to me, sullies the whole thing.
Yeah, they're anything but holy. In fact, I think that the reason why marriage is, there are so many more divorces today is because the government rules that are applied to it. The government rules are slanted in certain directions, usually toward the woman, as far as when there's actually a dispute that goes on. Usually the judge will rule in favor of the woman. And so a lot of women know that
especially in the case of kids, I would say.
A lot of people know, especially these gold-digging women, they know that if they get into a relationship, get married and get a divorce, they're going to walk away with some extra money that they didn't have before. And so you're setting up a lot of relationships that are just based on someone after something as opposed to two people that are really in love with one another.
Correct.
Next item.
The third one is inflation. And this basically is just toward the common person who hasn't been educated. The reason why I wanted to bring these seven things up is because this goes along with what you're talking about right now, is education, especially about sex education and the Free State Project. The seventh one is going to go really strong with Free State Project. But the third one, inflation. Most people just seem, because they're uneducated about the issue, is that it's the increase in prices, and that's not. That's the result of inflation.
Correct. That's the sign. You can tell that there's inflation going on because of increasing prices.
Right. The fourth one is innocent until proven guilty. You know, I have a real big issue on that because, you know, if somebody, I've never been arrested, but if somebody were to be arrested, when I was in the military, I've seen people in the private sector get arrested and held for days and days and days, longer than they were allowed to by law.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute, if he's innocent until proven guilty, he should be able to go home.
You know, and I understand, like, it's a difficult problem to solve because if somebody did the crime, they're just as likely to run if they're let out. But, you know, the punishment for...
Well, that's why we're supposed to have a speedy trial.
Right. Yeah, that's the idea. The punishment for a given crime is being locked up, but you're locked up before you're found guilty of the crime. So, I mean, they're giving you the punishment before you've been found guilty.
And we could have speedier trials if it weren't for this war on drugs filling the courtroom full of a bunch of potheads, essentially.
Absolutely.
So we really could do that. That could be changed easily.
All right, and number five, which is one of my most important ones, courts that seek the truth. You know, I've always been taught that that's what a court of law is, and that's not what we have in America today. We may have had that in the past prior to my lifetime.
Yeah.
But today we do not have that.
It seems like today we've got courts that seek more power for the state.
Correct. Well, one of my biggest questions is how do the judges get paid? Let's just hypothetically say that a state judge gets paid by the state.
Yeah, that's who they get paid by.
And if you sue the state, who's going to win?
Well, the chances are good that the state is, because they have deeper pockets and they don't care about winning or losing. It doesn't really matter.
They
to them.
Can they fight can, you forever.
Yeah, they can go on for as long as they want.
Right. And then number six is work harder so you can do better for yourself. That really, to me, is a lie today.
Why?
Because the harder you work, this applies to the common person like myself.
Mm-hmm.
The harder you work, the more you have to pay in taxes.
Yeah.
So again, government's encouraging divorces and encouraging to go on welfare. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And then the most important one, this goes hand in hand with the Free State Project, is committing a crime. You tell me, how can someone commit a crime for not doing anything?
Well, you mean like Russell Canning, for instance?
Yeah.
In New Hampshire?
But not doing anything. They didn't actually, how can you commit a tax crime? I just don't understand that because...
Okay, when you say not doing anything, you mean against another person. You mean a consensual crime, for instance, smoking a joint. A victimless crime, engaging in prostitution.
No victim, no crime.
Speeding. Take speeding. They say you committed a crime.
No.
Well, who was injured?
The state.
Well, the state was injured. That's what they claim. But
right.
they would really, who did they injure? Who was injured by that person speeding?
Who is the state? The state is nothing. It's just an ethereal concept that some guys cooked up at one time. There
Correct.
Is no state. There's just people that have guns and badges. And the delusion that they're working for an agency that doesn't really exist except in their own minds.
What is that saying that when we were growing up we heard that the United States is a non-debtors country?
I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Where you don't go to jail for not paying your debts?
Right, that's the idea. You can't go to jail for owing me a debt, but you certainly can go to jail for owing the IRS.
Right, or other municipal state agencies.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Great points, man. Thank you for bringing them up. Any final thoughts?
No, just thank you, guys. I really love your show.
Great call, Paul. I'm glad you're out there. 800-259-9231 to Homeless John in Little Rock. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yeah, what up now? I'm back.
Welcome back, Homeless John. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say one thing. Hezbollah 1, Israel 0.
Okay.
Now, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Something serious here in the city of Little Rock.
Sounds like you've got a serious, drinking problem tonight. Have you been hitting the bottle a little bit?
No, I just got a slight throat cold.
Yeah, he sounds just tired.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right, go ahead. What now?
I'm out here in 100-degree weather.
Harsh.
Oh, it's not 100 degrees.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it nighttime in Little Rock?
Oh, it's 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, so it's not quite nighttime. It might
All right.
be 100 degrees.
What do you got, man? Go, go.
Sun ain't gone down yet.
All right, we know. What's up? What's on your mind?
The city of Little Rock has been further increasing the harassment techniques on my people.
Really?
Your people? Your people being black or your people being homeless?
No, I'm not Dr. King. I'm talking to my people.
Are you their representative? Do they have homeless elections where they actually elect their leaders?
No, I'm the unofficial leader.
Okay.
In that.
You're the mayor of Shantytown.
I didn't ask for this position. It was thrown upon me. But
So what are they doing, these officials of Little Rock? How are they cracking down?
Well, number one, in North Little Rock, which is a separate town, mm-hmm. the police there don't want none of the homeless in the parks, especially if they got bags or sleeping bags, and they just sit on the bench. I just sit now.
You know, you guys would have a lot less trouble if you didn't try to sleep on a government property, on public property, because the cops are always there. The cops are always rolling through the parks. It'd be a lot better if the homeless, I know you guys don't have a lot of money, but if you just pool your money together and go and buy, like, a big plot of land for you all to live on. If the homeless just bought a big plot of land way out in the middle of nowhere, then who would care, right?
They'd zone against it.
Like, as usual.
As usual. Yes, indeed. And as usual, we appreciate your call. 800-259-9231. But am I right? I mean, if they all just sort of lived on their own plot of land out in the middle of nowhere, no one would care.
I think in the middle of nowhere, that's true.
Or don't know where.
Fiercely independent.
Who do you think is worse, the Democrats or the Republicans? I say it's the Republicans, because the Democrats have no power at all right now. Should they get a hold of the reins of power somehow? I'll anoint them the worst party. The way I look at it, whoever's writing the laws, that's who you have to be concerned about at any given time.
Prudent perspective from an edgy windbag. It's Common Sense with Dan Carlin. Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So, Janice, where are you and Jim going on vacation this summer?
Definitely somewhere with a beach, though who knows if our feet will even touch the sand.
That reminds me, Janice, have you figured out how to talk to Jim about his problem?
No, I want to, but men can be so sensitive.
Well, it's only going to get worse. Remember, I was going through the same thing with Dan. Then I found Mycoside NS.
What's Mycoside NS?
Mycoside NS kills the germs that can cause fungal infections. It worked great for Dan. He had the worst looking thick yellow toenails. Now his nails look clear and healthy.
Do I need a prescription?
No, you can get Mycoside NS antifungal treatment in the foot care aisle at any drugstore or major retailer.
And it really worked?
Yep, it worked on me too. I had some white discolorations on my toe. I just applied Mycoside NS daily. I didn't even have to remove my nail polish.
Sounds easy. I can start planning our beach getaway.
Yeah, Mycoside definitely gave us the confidence to bare our feet again.
Pick up Mycoside NS at drugstores and major retailers. Look for a free bonus gift in each box.
United States Pharmacopoeia, USP, sets the standard for most food supplements and are used in over 95% of all vitamin and mineral supplements in the world. The problem is that these products have never appeared in any living tissue. They're created in laboratories and are not recognizable to the body's metabolism. Grown by Nature, products are different because they use renatured ingredients, proprietary blends of essential vitamins and minerals with cofactors of proteins, lipids, and complex carbohydrates. Over 50 studies have been conducted on renatured nutrients, and over 20 have been published in peer-reviewed journals proclaiming their superiority. As a result, Grown by Nature vitamins and supplements are now recognized as simply the best available. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and order your Grown by Nature products today. We are what we eat, and since we are of nature, we should eat foods in their natural form. Only Grown by Nature offers a full line of renatured nutrients. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 because not all products are grown by nature, but they should be.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231, and as always, it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Again, that's 800-259-9231. You can also join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site totally free, including the bulletin board system. There's over 120,000 posts waiting for you there. Over 1,200 people are interacting. Serious issues, fun stuff. You'll find it all discussed at bbs.freetalklive.com. Again, bbs.freetalklive.com. And you need to know that Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's First 1,000 Pledge. Are you just going to talk about freedom, or are you going to start living it now? Learn how the First 1,000 Pledge can make it happen today at freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. So we just got off the phone with Homeless John there in Arkansas, and he was complaining, as he normally does, about the authorities there.
Pretty crabby about most things.
Well, I mean, it's a tough life being a homeless guy. I mean, you got to drink Listerine all day, because if it's Sunday, you can't get your hands on the real booze. Besides, the Listerine's cheaper anyway, so you got to get drunk off of Listerine, and then you got to deal with the cops while you're drunk. I mean, it's just, it's hell being homeless.
You know, he said he's just lazy. He doesn't want to work.
That is what he said.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you don't have to work at being homeless to an extent.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to find a place to stay and sleep. And
you know what amazes me is I see these guys on the medians in the road with some sign or another says, you know, homeless vet or,
right.
You know, I at least like the guys that are funny that say, why lie? It's for beer.
Yeah.
Support the beer list.
They're honest.
But, you know, they're standing out there in the hot sun for hours on end. Sometimes it's the same guy when I go by later, or sometimes it's a different one. They take shifts or whatever. I'm not sure. They work different corners. But, man, that's a job.
Yeah,
it really is a job. Just go get a real one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They should start the a homeless commune or something where they all just buy a plot of land. That way you don't have to sleep in an alleyway. You can set up a nice little shanty for yourself or something like that. Anyway, just in relation to this, a real quick email from Bernadette in Australia. She says, first, Mark announced that he hates homeless people. Now, you haven't announced that tonight, but you've announced it recently.
I really don't like them much.
Then, in July, Mark declared that he would consider beating up a person who he had kissed and subsequently discovered to be biologically a man rather than the woman that Mark assumed them to be. If I follow the logic that Mark's using here, then I would expect Mark to agree that it's okay for the soon-to-be ex-Mrs. Mark to consider beating Mark up because he fooled her into believing he was someone who could maintain a monogamous commitment for longer than 5 minutes.
That's not true. I did not fool her into that. I took her. I, you know, told her from the very beginning that, as a matter of fact, we had an agreement that we'd try it for a year and see how it went.
Really? You told her from the very beginning you weren't sure about this whole monogamy thing?
I didn't say the monogamy thing. I'm just like, I'm
what
not
did
sure.
You tell her?
I'm just not sure whether
about marriage.
Yeah, whether marriage is going to be right for me. She said, "Well, if we can't get along, we can always get a divorce."
Got it.
I mean, she was ready to close that deal. She wanted to close it in whatever manner possible. God bless her, she did, and it's unclosed now.
She says both are instances when someone has deliberately hidden something about themselves. I thought liberty-minded folks were supposed to be opposed to the initiation of force. Mark is always quick to throw the word bigot around when one of those protect the border zealots calls into the show, so I would suggest the term can be equally applied to Mark, who's clearly homophobic and anti-transgender and believes it's okay to use violence if he has been upset. Still love the show, even though now I have to look to Ian for rational thought. You've turned off one of your fans, Mark, with all your violent talk.
I suspect she was one of your fans from the very beginning.
The subject line is, Ian is more rational than Mark now. See where you get with all your violence?
All I can tell you is that if somebody purports themselves to be a woman and isn't, and then somehow manages to get a guy to kiss them, and I don't feel too bad if something bad happens to that person.
You didn't say that you wouldn't feel too bad before. Before you said you'd beat them up yourself.
I'd consider it.
I see. You're adjusting things
now.
No,
it's, read the line.
The line here was that you would beat them up. If you didn't say before that you would consider it.
Okay. Well, I would consider doing it. I might not consider doing it. Depends on the circumstances.
And I would consider that you would be a horrible person for doing so.
Imagine.
Let's go to the phones to Mike in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys, I'm looking for a quick free market response to a couple of similar situations going on around where I live.
Okay, what's going on?
I'm looking for a response without launching into, like, a philosophical discussion about property rights and all that. But, the one situation is we have, like, a burning ban where you can't, like, have an outdoor fire. Everything's so dry, you know, the sparks will float over your neighbors and light their stuff on fire.
Sure.
And a second situation is, we have this certain beetle that's eating ash trees, and the county is talking about whenever they find the beetle is to go in like a quarter mile radius around it and take out everybody else's ash beetle so they don't keep hopping from tree to tree.
We have the same thing with fruit flies down here.
Yeah, those are two pretty outrageous situations. Are you asking how that would be dealt with in a more market-based economy?
No, I know how it would be being a libertarian, but I'm looking for, like, when I get in a discussion with my neighbor about the situation, what a good, just like a quick free market response to them, like, supporting having Connie come in and take out all the ash trees
I've looked at this situation. Basically, I've already thought about this because it's something similar happens here in Florida with the citrus trees. And I don't have a solution. Quite honestly, I think it's a good idea for the government to come in and rip out people's trees and burn them up right there because that stuff gets spread around, and I don't have another solution.
Well, in regards to what you can say to a neighbor, I don't know. I guess I don't know what your neighbor's proclivities are towards political thought, you know, where they currently stand on things like property rights. But if they have some, so I think a lot of Americans don't even understand property rights. They believe that if your business is open to the public, then it's public property and therefore they have a right to be there. I mean, people don't get property rights. So will you make any headway with this? I don't know. But I think it makes, I think it's just sensible to explain that this is my property. These are my trees. I don't mind consenting perhaps to an agreement that says that if there's some sort of an infestation that I would sacrifice my tree. I think that if everyone were to agree to something like that, then it would be fine. I think otherwise it's an absolute violation of property rights. How to get your neighbors to understand that, though, I mean, that seems difficult. Any ideas on your own?
I don't know. How about this one? Like one of my certain neighbors, he has an ash tree, and he's all worried about this because he really likes his tree.
Right.
But, you know, let's say the neighbor down the block has a beetle, and I guess they can't really prove where my neighbor's beetle would come from, but maybe the person who, you know, had the original beetle would be responsible for its spreading. I don't know.
Yeah, could very well be if the insurance agreement had something like that in it. Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a pretty tough case in order to convert someone over to
that's a tough one.
A market-based concept. I don't know if that's necessarily an opener for for introducing someone to libertarianism.
Maybe we should stop the drug war instead.
Yeah. So, as always, when you're spreading liberty, the best idea is to find an issue where you and that person already agree, and then you can parlay from there and explain to them the principle, and then explain how that applies to everything.
Right.
But just jumping in on an issue where you're totally going in blind, it takes a little bit of research, it takes a little bit of time and understanding, and building relationships with people in order for this to happen. It won't happen overnight, but thank you for the call, man. We really appreciate hearing from you, Mike. 800-259-9231. I wish there was some magic words you could say and just go, and then someone will just turn into a libertarian, but it's not that easy. It takes time and effort. More's on the way. Free Talk Live.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient. Deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
The Bill of Rights is a term for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, limiting the federal government's power and preserving the rights of the people. Each day, we gradually lose these rights that we are entitled to. We need to take a stand to let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. Today, you can take this stand. You can express your beliefs by wearing a new and innovative t-shirt available only through GCN. Each shirt is black with a redesign of the famous Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag located on the front of the shirt. On the back is the Bill of Rights, printed in bold white text. Each shirt is $15 plus $7 shipping. Please send a check or money order for $22 along with size and the number of shirts being ordered to Libertees. That's Libertees. 447 Thompson Bay Loop, New Blaine, Arkansas, 72851. Or go to GCNLive.com. to view this great shirt today. Sizes XXL and larger at $2. Arkansas residents at 8% sales tax.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. Now available is the 2006 BioSolutions Plus. The BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. And again, anything goes. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com and get interactive with us. We've got all kinds of great stuff on the site, including the wiki. You go to W-I-K-I, wiki. freetalklive.com, and you'll find over 750 pages created by the listeners. In fact, virtually all of the content on the wiki has been added, edited, created by you, the listeners. So you can go in and you can edit virtually anything that you see there and add to it yourself. wiki.freetalklive.com. We just had a call from Mike in Illinois about a tree beetle. This idea that there's an ash tree, that's a type of tree up there, where it supposedly attracts beetles of some sort, and then they spread to other ash trees and destroy the tree, I presume.
Which is similar to the a fruit fly here in Florida, or the citrus canker. Both of these situations are very similar. All these situations are very similar.
And the issue that Mike was calling about is he was asking, well, what can he say to his neighbors to sort of bring them around to more market-based thinking on this issue? And we didn't really have that great of an answer. I mean, just go for it. Give it a shot. Try to explain how they should be able to own their own property. And if they're sort of on the same page with you, then great.
It's my tree. I mean, what if I wanted to have canker or fruit flies or beetles or whatever it has?
Indeed. So if they're already sort of in your corner, then they might move your direction.
That doesn't sound like a very motivating argument to me, that particular one.
It's not. But what we were talking about during the break, and I thought we should bring it on the air, is just this issue in general of some sort of a disease, not a disease per se, but a tree. What do you call it? Is
blight.
It a disease?
A blight. Kind of blight.
Something that spreads from tree to tree that could threaten your property. It's your tree in your backyard, but the next door neighbor who never pays any attention to his tree could have it come down with this blight, this situation that could spread over to yours. So because your neighbor is being neglectful of his property and his tree, does that mean that you should suffer?
Well, in that particular case, you would be suffering. If you knew for certain that your neighbor was, that their citrus tree or their ash tree had some kind of blight, and that was the tree that infected yours, you could sue for damages.
True. You could get damages. That's a good point.
But how would you know?
Right?
One of my thoughts on this is the way that they do this here in Florida is they find the infected tree with canker bugs or whatever, And they say, okay, we're taking out this tree. And they take out every tree for like a radial mile or 2 miles.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They just, every tree. So if your neighbor gets canker, he could be blocks and blocks and blocks away.
Right. And I don't think they're cutting checks.
No, absolutely they're not. Because this is backed, in this case, by, I don't know about ash trees, if it's the lumber companies or what, mm-hmm. but it's, in this case, it's backed by the citrus companies.
Mm,
the citrus obvious. Groves. They certainly don't want somebody who doesn't take as good a care of their tree to get canker nearby and then infect their whole grove and possibly, sure. you know, cost them a whole bunch of money. But also, what do they want that competition for? They don't want you to have a fruit tree in your backyard.
They want you to buy their products.
They want you to buy orange juice. I mean, the best tasting orange juice is stuff that you've squeezed from your own tree. And they don't want you having access to that stuff. They want you to buy Tropicana or Minute Maid or whatever.
So what happens when the citrus growers start driving through neighborhoods throwing out citrus canker out the window and spreading it on their own?
Who says they don't?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And maybe they do.
And they've got this law on the books, and it helps them. I mean, I don't think they consider it a big issue, by the way, home trees.
I don't think
But it's not. But at the same time,
it's an interesting viewpoint.
Why would they want them?
Well,
and the last point I want to make on that is, how do we know which trees are resistant and which trees are susceptible? I mean, some trees out there are bound to be. Some people can't catch AIDS.
Right.
Some trees are bound to be resistant to this beetle or fruit flies.
Is that true?
Or whatever.
People can't catch AIDS?
There are some people that can't that just don't catch AIDS.
They tried and they didn't.
I mean, well, apparently they've been with somebody infected and they didn't get it. I don't know if
there's a chance.
Or they don't, or they're just a carrier or however that works.
Okay.
But how do we know which ones are and which ones aren't? And then in that case, we're not allowing evolution to take place.
Mm.
We're not allowing the trees that live to
reproduce
with trees that live. You're just wholesale wiping these things out.
Seems like a stupid government solution to a problem. And I think that property rights would be the real solution here. If orange growers are really concerned, and they should be, it's their business. If they're really concerned about citrus canker, for instance, coming over from some schmo's property, I don't know how far it can spread. It's wind, I guess, spread by wind, I presume.
In this case of canker, I don't know how the beetles get around. They probably have little beetly wings.
Right. If they're concerned about it, then they should put a buffer in between their... they should purchase... When they're purchasing their land for the citrus, they should have a buffer zone where there's enough space to where there's no citrus trees in there. So if the little pollens or whatever it is that spreads the canker, I don't know what it is, if whatever it is that spreads lands in that buffer, no big deal. That way their farm is not backing right up against somebody's residential neighborhood. You see what I mean?
That's going to cost them a lot of money in trees.
So, but what we're talking about here is an America where everybody's got more money, Mark, where everybody has more wealth because we're not having it destroyed by the government's taxation. So it wouldn't be a big deal, really. I mean, if this was an issue, they should be the ones taking the steps on their own property to ensure that their trees don't get infected. And for the rest of us, let's move this from the citrus growers to just us in the neighborhood.
Right.
Let's say I've got a citrus tree in my backyard, and I really like it. It's a grapefruit tree, and I like my nice ruby red grapefruits, and I want
to
eat those.
You can come over to my house, because I have them right on the tree.
That's good. Bring some to me. I'll eat them.
You eat those same things?
If they're red. I'll eat the red ones.
Okay.
Anyway, so let's say
I just
like...
fall on the ground, and I run them over with a mower.
Let's say I really like my tree, but you are a lazy bum, and you're living down the street from me, and you could care less about the citrus trees in your backyard. Yours come down with canker, then mine get infected. That's a bad situation, because I'm going to be pretty angry about that. But if we had gotten into, say, a neighborhood agreement to where deed restrictions... required some sort of an upkeep agreement with citrus, or I don't know much about citrus trees, I don't know much about the situation, but if there certainly could be rules written down in a neighborhood agreement that specified how this situation would be handled, to where it would be in the agreement that if one of your neighbors comes down with this canker and it's discovered, then there's a mandate that all trees either be tested for resiliency or removed. I mean, this could easily be written in an agreement.
It could.
No problem.
But these homeowners agreements that you love to tout as the voluntary solution to government are going to be huge, voluminous contracts. Who's going to read these things?
I don't know if that's going to be the case.
I mean, it's going to be as bad as the laws. Almost.
I don't see it. I don't see that that would be the case. I've never actually read through an existing homeowner's agreement because I won't live in a place where there is one.
Well, there's 4, 5, 6 pages. generally.
Is that huge? I mean, when you say
that's
huge,
now,
what do you consider huge?
That's now, but when once you start making these essentially the towns, the municipalities,
see, I don't think you've got enough, rules. I don't think you've got enough vision, Mark. You don't seem to understand how the marketplace works. The marketplace is interested in satisfying consumer demand. So if consumers are demanding short, understandable homeowners agreements, that's what they're going to get. Seems simple to me. Let's go to the phones to Malta in Denmark. You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about riots and Tin Amendment.
Yeah.
I sent you some info about Farm Garden.
Okay.
About how to get rid of your United States citizenship.
Hmm.
Some month ago, about you talked about the Tin Amendment, but the 14th Amendment actually said that if you're accepting 14th Amendment citizenship, you don't have any rights at all.
Yeah, essentially what you're talking about is the 14th Amendment, which set up this whole concept of citizenship. Again, before the 14th Amendment...
1868, July.
Before the 14th Amendment, there was no mention of citizen in the U.S. Constitution or Bill of Rights. The word's not in there, so it was brought into the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
And you're saying that if you agree to being a citizen, then...
Of the 14th Amendment, you don't have any rights, and you're a slave, basically.
Yeah, yeah, you're pretty much right.
They put... When they wrote the new... citizenship, they put everyone down to that. They wouldn't allow black people to have the same right before 1868.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually put you down to, slave.
The level of slave. So instead of freeing the slaves, they made everyone into slaves.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting observation, Molto. Thank you for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231.
That's not what it says, though.
Oh, what, the 14th Amendment?
Yeah.
No, I don't have it in front of me either. Of course it doesn't say you're a slave. But it did create the concept of citizen, and as we've seen, the whole concept of citizen is really kind of silly, and we can explain that here in a moment. Also, the government wants to hire you. No, really, we'll tell you about it. They're in a big hiring phase right now.
And they're not hiring me.
Oh, that's the problem. No one wants to take the jobs. More's on the way. We'll explain. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
Surely you've heard that ignorance of the law is no excuse. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizeDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. Visit DownsizeDC.org because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now, for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies per day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
In December 2005, CNN had a special documentary about the inevitability of nuclear terrorism on American soil. When the mainstream media is reporting on such a perilous topic with such candor, it should be taken very seriously. Currently for sale by owner, the ultimate secure home is strategically located in the awesome mountains of southwest Colorado. This patented steel-reinforced concrete earth home was built to withstand any natural or man-made disaster you can name, whether that be a forest fire, an earthquake, or even a full-scale nuclear attack. The house is completely off-grid with solar electricity and an independent water supply. It even has a hidden fallout shelter with NBC air filtration. Its many self-sufficient and high-security features will amaze amaze you. With nuclear World War III looming ever closer on the horizon, this custom survival home is turnkey, ready for a new owner. For more information, visit www.ultimatesecurehome.com. That's www.ultimatesecurehome.com.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark,
and you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site, totally free. We do want you to shop with us, though. To help support the show, you can go shopping with our friends over at Amazon. We've got a nice little agreement with those guys. It is the world's largest internet retailer. There are so many products. I mean, everything from big electronics down to DVDs, books, office supplies, apparel. It's all there at amazon.freetalklive.com. That's right. If you enter through our website at amazon.freetalklive.com, you still go through the normal Amazon shopping experience, still get the same great prices, the same great free Super Saver shipping deals. It's just that we will get a percentage of your sale. So when you check out, a percentage goes to Free Talk Live. They don't show it. They don't itemize it on the receipt or anything like that. But trust me, we're getting a percentage.
Yeah, we get a percentage, and it doesn't change the price.
Exactly.
You can do the same checkout procedure without having gone there. Go to Amazon.com and then go to freetalklive.com and check them out. It'll be the same every step of the way.
Yep, it's just that one way helps us.
One way.
So Amazon.freetalklive.com. So we were talking about the 14th Amendment. Malta called in from Denmark suggesting that the 14th Amendment created citizenship. And therefore, instead of freeing the slaves, it essentially made us all into slaves by making us all this citizen. Which, of course, if you're a citizen, then all of the laws that they write apply to you as a citizen. And I'm not going to read the entire 14th Amendment because it's somewhat long. There's five sections to it. I'll just read the first section. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So just by writing this paragraph, just by writing this 14th Amendment, they are deeming everyone a citizen of the United States. So, of course, you have to ask, well, what is a citizen? And can you actually become a citizen by someone deeming it so?
Yes, we say you're a citizen.
And no, I say to the second part of that, I say no. You can't enter into an agreement if you haven't actually understood the terms of the agreement. Come to a meeting of the minds to where you understand what you're agreeing to, the other person understands what they're offering or what you're offering in return, etc. There has to be, when you're entering into an agreement, there has to be an understanding between both parties. Otherwise, it could be argued the agreement was null and void in the first place.
It could be argued.
Yes, if I sign an agreement while I'm drunk, I'll probably be held to it. However, it could be argued that I didn't understand the full effect of the agreement or the contract. In this case, I didn't sign anything, and neither did you, and neither did your parents, and nobody signed this 14th Amendment. In fact, we didn't even sign off on the Constitution. And again, in order to agree to something like this, it has to be understood that we know what being a citizen is all about. And most people don't. They just know they're citizens. When you're an American and you go through the government education or the government indoctrination system, you come out and you believe that I'm a good little citizen. You know what? I won a citizenship award when I was in elementary school, so I must be a citizen. And no,
The definition of a citizen is someone who owes a duty of allegiance to a government in return for protection from said government.
And we have shown time and time again that the Supreme Court has ruled that the government is not liable for protection of its citizens.
Right. So if there was an agreement, that was signed, this social contract that people love to talk about, if it did exist and it did say that I, Ian, say that I will be a citizen of the United States of America, sign here. You know, if it did say that, then the agreement would be, or should be, that as a citizen, I owe a duty of allegiance to the United States. In return, the United States will provide me with protection. So part of that duty of allegiance is to follow the laws, be a good little citizen, that whole thing.
Right.
So that would be what the contract said, presuming it exists, which it doesn't. But we're presuming it does exist. And if it does exist, then it's been violated by the government. They have violated their side of the agreement. Again, if it did exist. Their side of the agreement says they'll provide us with protection. And just having a military and having a police is not providing you with protection, because the government, Supreme Court, has said time and time again, they said it last year, they said that there is no requirement, there is no obligation for us to protect you, period. If you call the police, they have no obligation to come to your aid, they have no obligation to save you from peril, they have no obligation to even help you after the fact. They don't have an obligation to do anything more than take a report.
You know, this
and
whole
file it.
This whole citizenship thing's a little too cerebral and abstract for me, though.
How is cerebral and abstract? It's understandable and concrete.
You know,
what's abstract is the idea that there's a social contract. That's abstraction. To suggest that there's some sort of an agreement out there that we've all agreed to that we haven't agreed to. That's abstract.
That much is true. I mean, it just, I don't know, it doesn't seem to have a lot of bearing on my life day to day, whether or not I'm a citizen, a yes or citizen.
No, it doesn't, because everyone presumes they are a citizen.
And they presume that we are too.
But it's still an interesting thing to talk about.
It is interesting.
And it's unusual, because most people don't. These are things that people don't question. This is part of the box that we've all been placed in, that we were born in, that we were raised in, and we are expected to stay in. But when you start questioning the walls of the box itself, when you start asking, is there something else outside of this existence? Is there something I'm missing? Then that's why we're exploring these things, because we explore the nether regions, the places that people don't normally talk about, the issues that aren't normally discussed.
We are iconoclasts, or you are, at the very least.
Indeed. 800-259-9231. You can take control of the
area. I'd be considered that by a normal person, and I consider you that.
Thanks. I'll take that as quite a compliment. Time.
Looking at the fringe from the fringe.
Time is reporting. There's nothing fringe, Mark, about refusing to cooperate with men with guns. That's all that I ask. Uncle Sam wants you, Mark. According to Time magazine, over the next 5 years, over half of the federal government workforce is likely to retire, completely gutting vital agencies like the Centers for Disease Control. This is a pro-government article, as you will see. It's going to gut vital agencies like the CDC, the IRS, and Veterans Affairs.
Yay!
The higher up the management chain, the worse the problem. Among top government officials, almost 70% are planning to retire. A culture of denial has set in, and the very people responsible to fix the problem are the ones who are going to be ditching out. Many agencies will enter an embarrassing phase of ineptitude, as though they're not inept already. See, this article believes that the government is actually good at something. Caused by a lack of staff or a newly hired and inexperienced staff. The article actually says, get ready to hate your government again. Trust me, I'm already there. Unless a new radical stance is taken and some laws are changed, we'll see the effects of this brain drain everywhere. The CDC might be short on biologists when a pandemic hits. Your tax refund might be late owing to a paucity of the number of number crunchers. Iraq veterans may be given poor medical care at the VA hospitals due to huge nursing shortages. Hello? The veterans are already getting poor medical care, presuming they can even get their hands on it.
This sounds like a personnel puff piece for the government.
That's all that this is. You're going to love this. Okay, so going on here. The situation is caused by a witching hour of three factors. First, baby boomers are about to retire in droves everywhere. We know that.
Yeah.
Second, anyone who went to work for the federal government prior to 1984 is grandfathered under an old law that lets them retire at age 55.
Okay.
Wait, I thought these people were all about service. I thought these people were about serving their fellow man. Shouldn't they be serving us until the day they die, or at least until 65? Why are they bailing out so quick? What's the rush? Oh, wait, are you telling me they're just a bunch of greedy jerks that want to get their hands on a pension?
I think that's probably the reason that most people... Well, they're not greedy jerks. Everybody's motivated for the reasons they're motivated. It's just that, you know, they have this opportunity, and... they're going to take it.
We're going to continue this story here in a little bit. We'll talk about it in hour number three, but I want to go to the phones. Dennis in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hey, Dennis.
Yes. You were talking about citizenship.
Yes, sir.
And the amendments.
Yeah.
And it was brought to my attention here several years ago that if you look at the amendments, citizen up to the 11th Amendment was spelled with a capital C.
There is no, I believe that citizen is not actually mentioned in the Constitution prior to the 14th Amendment.
In the 11th Amendment, it is.
Really? Okay, I'll have to look into that.
I've got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you don't have to read it for us. We'll take your word for it. Go on.
But it's spelled with a capital C after mm-hmm. the 11th. I believe it's the 11th Amendment. 11th Amendment. I'm
okay.
Not real positive on that. But I believe it's the 11th Amendment.
Yeah.
It was spelled with a capital C, and then after that, it was spelled with a small c.
What's the relevance of that?
The relevance of that is we, as a citizen, are under the government. Up until the 11th Amendment, we were the government. I mean,
people and all that?
Excuse me?
We the people, and I see what you're saying. Actually, I am looking at it. He's right. It does. It is capitalized in the 11th Amendment, and the other one it is not.
That's correct. And up until that point, we were the people of the government. We are the government. And up until that point, and after that, we are just citizens of the...
Very interesting observation. Dennis, we appreciate the call, man. More is on the way. Hour 3 coming up. We're going to continue the story here. The government is crying because it's losing employees.
Capitalized citizens or subjects is just bad grammar.
More is on the way. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Over the years, Genesis Communications Network has grown by leaps and bounds, reaching millions of listeners. The impact on political and social issues have been enormous. Businesses associated with the network have grown to become valuable enterprises. If you are accredited and have an entrepreneurial spirit, national radio may be the opportunity you're looking for. Call me today at 877-996-4327, extension 101. For more information, that's 877-996-4327, extension 101.
Chat